Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a funky drummer switch-up blend in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is to make it feel like one groove mutating into another, not like two loops awkwardly pasted together. This is a classic jungle and old-school D&B arrangement move. You start with a break that has character, swing, and that human funky drummer feel. Then you introduce a second break or drum layer and blend the two so the energy climbs naturally. Think of it like a ramp, a hinge, or a trapdoor opening under the track. Not a hard cut, not a random swap, a proper transition with momentum. At around 172 to 174 BPM, this kind of switch up can be huge. It keeps the tune moving, it adds variation without killing the drive, and it gives you that old school DNA while still sounding controlled and modern. If the blend lands well, the whole track feels more experienced, more DJ friendly, and way more replayable. So first, let's set up the drum architecture. We want three things ready before we start editing the actual break. Break A is your funky drummer style foundation. Break B is your switch-up break, or a chopped variation of the original. And then a support layer, maybe a kick and snare punch layer, or a hat and shaker layer if you need extra motion. If you're using audio, put the breaks on audio tracks so you preserve the original feel. If you want tighter control for fills and reinforcement, use a drum rack for the support hits. Route everything to a drum bus, so you can shape the whole section together later. That drum bus is going to save you time and help the whole thing feel like one record. For the breaks themselves, try beats mode if you want punch and natural transient behavior. Use Complex Pro only if you really need more time stretching. And keep the project in that classic D&B pocket around 172 to 174 BPM. Also, if the breaks are stereo, check them with utility and keep them centered unless you're deliberately going for width. In this style, the low end and the core groove usually want to stay focused. Now find the loopable bar. This part matters a lot. You're looking for a one bar or two bar section where the kick and snare relationship feels strong, and the ghost notes have personality. In jungle, the best breaks are often not the cleanest ones. They're the ones with character in the mids and enough transient detail to survive chopping. Open the clip in clip view and tighten obvious timing drift with warp markers, but don't flatten every transient onto the grid. That's a common mistake. The point is not robotic perfection. The point is a believable pocket. If the break feels too stiff, back off the timing preservation a bit. Let it breathe. You can also add a touch of groove from the groove pool. Something subtle. Maybe an MPC style or drummer feel around 54 to 58% timing feel. Keep velocity variation natural. If you're reinforcing the break with MIDI hits, apply the groove to the MIDI clip too, not just the audio. That helps the whole rhythm feel unified instead of pasted together. A simple tonal move here is to high pass the break around 120 to 180 Hz if your sub is carrying the low end. Then, if the break needs a little more weight and attitude, try a gentle saturator with maybe 2 to 5 dB of drive. Just enough to thicken it without turning the transients into mush. Now here's a really useful mindset shift. Don't treat the break as one thing. Split it into rolls. There's the body, which is your kick and snare weight. There's the top, which is hats, ride texture, and break noise. And there's the accent layer, which is ghost notes, snare flams, and tiny fills. A clean workflow in Ableton is to duplicate the break track and assign each copy a job. One version can be darker and more low-mid focused. Another can be high-passed for top-end detail. Another can hold chopped one-shots or fill fragments. On the body layer, use EQ8 to clean out sub-rumble below 25 to 30 Hz, and maybe leave a gentle bump around 150 to 250 Hz if the break needs presence. On the top layer, high pass around 250 to 400 Hz and then animate brightness with auto filter if you want movement. On the accent layer, keep the level lower and use short fade so it feels like detail, not clutter. This is where the workflow really starts becoming intentional. You're assigning musical roles instead of just stacking audio. Now let's bring in break B. This can be a completely different break, a chopped version of the first one, a tighter top loop, or even a resampled version of break itself. And that resampling idea is very on brand for jungle. Solo break A, record a few bars of it with your bass and atmosphere, then re-import that recording as a new clip. You can slice it to a drum rack or keep it as audio and chop it further. That gives you a second break that already shares the track's own sonic DNA. Shape break B so it evolves the groove rather than overpowering it. Clean out unnecessary low-end clutter, maybe with EQ8 below 100 to 140 Hz if the main drum weight is elsewhere. Add drum bus if needed, but use it carefully. A little drive, maybe 5 to 15%, is often enough. Keep boom low or off if your sub already owns the low end. A touch of room ambience can help, but keep it subtle. In this style, too much reverb can make the groove muddy really fast. The key part now is the blend. This is the heart of the lesson. The switch up should feel like one groove morphing into another. So instead of brute force, use automation. Let break a fade down over one or two bars, and let break B fade in over the same window. A good trick is to crossfade the top end first, then the body second. That way the listener feels motion before the groove fully changes. You can automate an auto filter on break A, slowly closing the top from around 8 to 12 kHz down to maybe 3 to 5 kHz over the transition. At the same time, let break B open up from filtered or muted into full bandwidth. You do not need giant EDM style effects for this. In old school jungle, drum tension is often enough. A short reverse cymbal or a noise riser can help if it supports the phrase, but the real impact comes from the rhythm changing shape in a controlled way. Here's a solid blend structure to think about. For the first couple of bars, break A is dominant. Then break B starts sneaking in underneath at a much lower level, maybe 12 to 18 dB down. A few bars later, both breaks are audible, but break A is losing brightness. Then by the end of the phrase, break B takes over with a fill or snare lift. That's the moment where the ear goes, okay, we've moved somewhere new, but the track never lost its pulse. Now, don't forget the bass. If the drum switch and the bass goes wild too, the whole thing can fall apart. In DNB, the low end has to stay disciplined. Let the sub hold a stable note or a simple phrase through the transition. If you have a reese or mid bass, use it in the gaps between snare hits and break accents. Give the break some space in that 150 to 500 Hz area where a lot of the groove lives. In Ableton, Operator or Waveitable are great for a solid sub. For the mid layer, Waveitable, Analog or a resampled audio bass can work well. Keep the sub mono with utility, and maybe low pass it around 80 to 120 Hz if it needs more focus. High pass the mid bass around 90 to 150 Hz to avoid mud, and use a little sidechain compression so the drums can breathe. Fast attack, medium release, just a few dB of gain reduction is usually enough. If the bass line feels too busy during the switch, simplify it. Seriously, in this kind of music, a cleaner bass line often hits harder than a complicated one. Once the breaks and bass are behaving, route all the drums to a drum bus and shape the whole transition there. This is the glue stage. Use glue compressor with a moderate ratio, maybe 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. Keep the attack slow enough to let transients through, and the release medium so it bounces. You usually only want a few dB of gain reduction unless you're intentionally going for heavier pumping. Drum bus can add cohesion too. A little drive, maybe 5 to 10%. Can be great. Crunch should be used sparingly if the break already has bite. Boom is only useful if the kick needs help and it isn't fighting your sub. If the blend feels flat, a tiny bit of saturation before compression can add energy. If it feels harsh, try taming the drum bus around 3 to 6 kHz with EQ8 instead of overprocessing each track individually. This is one of the biggest workflow wins in Ableton. Fewer decisions, faster revisions, easier finishing. Now let's think arrangement. DNB loves phrasing that makes sense. Build the switch up around 8-bar and 16-bar sections so it lands on a clear musical boundary. A really strong shape is this. Bars 1 to 8, your first drop groove. Bars 9 to 12, the switch starts, with the second break and some drum fills sneaking in. Bars 13 to 16, full changeover, maybe with a final fill or a short breakdown hit leading into the next phrase. If this is part of a full tune, keep it DJ-friendly. Leave clean intros and outros where needed, and avoid interrupting the low end too abruptly. One really effective trick is to drop the bass out for half a bar right before the change, while the drums continue. That little moment of restraint makes the next groove hit harder. Now add micro edits. This is where the transition starts feeling alive instead of just technically correct. Remove one kick on the final bar. Add a snare pickup or a flam on beat 4. Drop in a reverse break hit right on the downbeat. Shorten a hat note to make room for the next phrase. Use fades on clip edges to avoid clicks, and consolidate the clips once the edits are locked in. If the section still feels too clean, you can get a darker, more modern edge by automating a brief filter dip on the top end right before the switch, then opening it up hard on the next bar. That contrast is often enough to sell the change without adding extra clutter. A couple of important coaching notes here. First, think in energy curves, not just drum swaps. The best switch-ups feel like a ramp. Second, if the groove gets messy, mute one layer before you add more processing. In jungle, subtraction often creates clarity faster than adding more stuff. Third, if the transition isn't landing, check the snare ownership. In DNB, the snare often tells the listener where the pocket lies. Also, use return tracks for shared ambience. If both breaks live in the same room, they'll feel more like one record, and definitely keep a marker in arrangement view at the exact bar where the identity changes. That makes it much easier when you come back later and need to edit the tune fast. If you want to push this further, there are some really fun variations. You can do a fake out switch, where break B appears for one bar and then vanishes before the full change. You can build a ghost layer morph, bringing in hats first, then ghost notes, then the second snare. You can create a halftime illusion by removing a few offbeat hits for a moment, then restoring the full pace. Or you can let break A and break B answer each other in a call and response pattern before one fully takes over.